If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Monday, October 23rd, 2023. I'm on your host, Blessing Adioye Jr. Joining me is LaCroix Poppy on a Monday, Tim Ma-Bullion Geddes.
You see that new jib move, Bless?
Oh, I wasn't even paying attention.
I don't think you did. That shit was hot. Shout out to Kev. We've been playing with the new lens on the jib that now can actually like zoom in and refocus and stuff. And it's a sweet move, everybody. Oh, so yeah. You should check it out on the VOD if you missed it live.
Dang, I'm going to have to rewind that. Let's go. Tim, I'm with you on a rare Monday.
Oh, yeah.
Which means I get to talk to you about my weekend.
Which is great, yeah, right? That's always one of the most fun things about a Monday at KFGD. How was your weekend?
I did three things that I think you're going to be excited about. Mm-hmm. Number one, I watched Polite Society. Fire.
Great movie. Watching it, I was like, this is the most blessed thing.
It's the fact that it has so much Scott Pilgrim energy to it, and like the transitions and like the everything about it says Scott Pilgrim in a way that I'm like, this is fucking great. I have complaints about where the story
goes.
But like overall, it's a fun time. Yeah. It's a laid back time. But that was number one. I really enjoyed that. I appreciate the recommendation. Number two, I played a buttload of Super Mario Wonder.
Yes, you did.
That game is awesome.
Yeah,
incredible. I am on World 6. Mm-hmm. I am like on my way to finishing it. I got all the special world stuff to do, but I am having a fantastic time. Number three, I watched Eternal Sunshine.
Okay, for the first time?
For the first time ever. And when I tell you that I got into my feels watching that movie, it's one that was recommended to me like I think months ago at this point by like everybody in the office saying that this is a blessing-ass movie. That is a blessing-ass movie.
Yeah.
And it was incredible.
It's in the soundtrack.
Oh my god.
The score, dude.
The score is unrivaled. Crazy.
Yeah, so damn good. I'm excited that you're playing through Mario, that everyone's playing through Mario. I'm now like going through doing the cleanup of trying to 100% it and get all the extra stuff. And it's fun now going and turning on the multiplayer stuff. And have you done that?
No.
So you can set up multiplayer that as you're playing through levels, you're getting like live ghosts essentially of people that are playing those same levels live at that time. Mm-hmm. So it's just kind of fun to see where everyone's going. And like some of the levels that like I was like the search party levels where you're like trying to find like the five golden coins or whatever. There was one that I just couldn't figure out where it was. Like I tried for probably an hour and I just couldn't get it. I'm like, where could it possibly be? And I was just like watching someone and I saw where they went. I'm like, oh my God. Like, and it was just such a cool moment. It reminded me of Journey a lot back in the day, but like just that one specific thing where I was like, wow, this is,
I really like those levels.
Yeah.
And I've had the same thing where I'm like, the first search party level I went to, I thought I was doing something wrong. Like, I was like, oh, certainly I'm missing a power-up. Like, I'm supposed to have the bubble power-up or something so I can get the extra jump. And then I got to the second one, and I was like, oh, I can get everything. It's just a matter of, like, finding whatever hidden block. It's like a demented level of Mario design that I feel like Nintendo doesn't usually do for 2D Mario, and I appreciate it. I also get, like, the vibe of this is a 2D Mario game that is made by a Nintendo post-Mario Maker in a way, because, like, a lot of levels are super creative. They do some of, like, the fun rhythm stuff that you see in Mario Maker that, like, you know, people kind of just popularized on their own. They're like some of those moments where I'm like, damn, like, this feels creative on another level from what we typically get with 2D Mario. So I'm having a good time with it.
Yeah, man, it's a great time. I can't wait to keep playing it. I wish there was like a percentage counter or something, because like I don't actually know how close I am. I have to just go into the menus and like look through each level to see what I'm missing. But I must be, at least of the main stuff, like 85%+ done.
When you say you're 100%ing it, is that what, the three coins, the seeds,
all the seeds, all like three coins, get the top of the flag for every level, including all the special world stuff? That means you also need to find all the hidden exits to get to the special levels,
which I'm having trouble with.
Yeah me too. Yeah, I've only have one actually.
Yeah, same. Okay, so I'm not crazy. I'm like, I know there are more out there, but I swear to God, I'm like exploring the full like overworld shit. I'm not finding anything.
Yeah,
but it's a good time.
But I love it, man. I'm at this point where I'm like, there's no rush. So it's like, I just want to enjoy it. Just let it take my life over.
What's next on the horizon for you?
I mean, Sonic. I'm still working my way through that.
Oh,
I've got,
yeah.
I I'm having such a good time with it, but it's, you cannot play Sonic and then play Mario back to back. Like, you can't. You need to dedicate your day. Today is a Mario day. You take a couple days off. Now it's a Sonic day. You know what I mean?
Nice little palate cleanser. How far are you in Sonic? Have you played much?
Not too much more. I'm maybe like 2.5 hours in fully. So I don't know, halfway through maybe, but yeah. Having a blast with it though. And then Spider-Man, just real quick, I just want to say, now that the Dolby Atmos update's out, I had to check that out. It's incredible. It's so much fun. Swinging through Central Park and just hearing like the leaves of trees rustle around like in a 3D space above you is incredible.
Hell yeah.
But I called Gia down. I was like, hey, like just to show her the game, because she had no idea what it even looked like. She was so blown away. Like,
oh, yeah.
She had no concept of what the Spider-Man game I was playing looked like. And she was just like, what the, like, how are you, you're playing that? I'm like, yeah, I'm like, playing
this video game.
And then she lived in New York for like 5 years for college. So she was like, wait, like, how accurate is it? I'm like, it's not, but it's like, there's, it's surprisingly accurate in some ways and then just totally not in others. I'm like, it's kind of like the Disneyland version of New York, but like, there's a lot of real shit there. And she's like, oh, try going to, and then she would like name specific like cross streets. Mm-hmm. And she named like six of them, and like two of them were there.
Oh, that's awesome.
And she was like, this is like,
go to my apartment.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. It was like super cool. She's like, it would be that building. It looks different, but like, it was just, she had so much fun with that. I had so much fun with that. Like, that's just such a cool thing. And like, man, Insomniac. Woo!
Hell yeah. They got the stuff.
What a weekend for us.
What a weekend. And also, what a news day, because today's stories include Xbox throwing a partner showcase, Metal Gear Solid Collection reviews, and more, because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on YouTube.com/KindaFunnyGames and Twitch.tv/KindaFunnyGames, we run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to KindaFunny.com/YoreWrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on YouTube.com/KindaFunnyGames, or you can listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kinda Funny Games Daily. Remember, you can use our creator code Kinda Funny on all Epic Store and Epic in-game purchases like Rocket League and Fortnite to help support the channel. To be a part of the show, head to KindaFunny.com/KFGD to write in with questions, squad ups, and more. And remember, Patreon.com/KindaFunny will get you the show ad-free plus a bevy of bonus content.
Is that a new earring?
It is. Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, I'm rocking like the hoops now.
Little,
trying something
the
different.
There, yeah.
Trying something different. I don't know if I'm feeling it yet. Like,
yeah,
it almost feels too much.
Well, I like it though. Like, in the, go to the wide. Like, I like the size of it. It takes up space.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
That's the thing that I'm still getting used to. Because when I first put it on, I looked in the mirror and I was like, I feel like I look like my mom right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm giving blessing mom vibes.
You know what? You gotta push through the mom vibes.
Yeah.
And then just own it.
Let me know in chat.
Yeah, let them know.
Somebody says looking fresh.
But only be nice.
Be nice. Yeah, don't say mean things. Housekeeping for you. We're throwing a meet and greet fundraiser for Extra Life. Well, actually, Square Pie Guys is throwing us a meet and greet fundraiser for Extra Life. Come hang with the Kinda Funny crew on Wednesday, October 25th. We'll be celebrating the launch of the Kinda Funny Pizza, a buffalo chicken pie, and raising money for the Big Beautiful Kids. All proceeds from the tickets goes to our Extra Life fundraising. You'll be entered to win fabulous prizes, and you get to hang out with us. Get your ticket. Yes, this is a ticketed event at kindafunny.com/SPG party. And then our new Halloween merch is up right now on kindafunny.com/store. And right now, Greg Miller is on stage to show it off. He's rocking it. He's got the sweater, but also there's a t-shirt that you can get with the same design. It looks sick. It's Halloween colors also.
All the Halloween colors represented
you
here.
You got purple, you got green, you got orange, and you got black represented.
Hell yeah. What a cool shirt. What a cool sweater. Everyone can get it now.
KindaFunny.com. It's not about that shirt. It's not about that shirt right now.
What is that shirt? No.
It's about this shirt. It's about this shirt, Kevin. Don't show.
Nicole Kidman.
It's this shirt. KindaFunny.com/store, everybody.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
No, this is a cooler shirt. KindaFunny.com/Jesus.
Like, yo, that's an incredible shirt.
It's pretty cool.
Well,
but not as cool as this, though. KindaFunny.com.
Focus on it, Kevin!
We're still working out the kinks.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Jesus fucking Christ.
Lord. But that Nicole Kidman shirt. Where'd you get that?
super yucky. Dude, I'll send it to you later.
Yeah, send me the link.
But everyone else, pretend I said kindafunny.com/store. That's where you want
to
go.
That's where you can go to get the shirt Greg's wearing right now.
The funniest thing is I was supposed to wear the shirt today.
I think Greg was supposed to wear the shirt.
Technically, I was supposed to wear the shirt. But then I'm working on Redacted on a very tight timeline. So I said, hey, Bless, can you do it? And then could you wear the shirt? And then Bless said, I'm already at the office, so I can't, but I can do it. And I said, Tim, how about you wear the shirt? And you said, somebody stole the shirt from me already. Which doesn't sound right. That just sounds like you lost the shirt and you wanted to blame somebody. Well,
I had the shirt on my desk.
Now that's good, Kevin. That's good use of the camera, Kev.
I had the shirt on my desk, and then the shirt was no longer on my desk.
Yeah, but you're, so you're, what are you, but Kevin just got I bet you guys can't imagine what national tragedy I almost referenced for that footage.
I'm so happy I can't.
Do I get three tries?
No, you do not. Tell me about the news.
Can I just name a city? Over on Patreon, a new shit list with me and Roger is up, where we react to IGN's top 10 list of Spider-Man games. And that one is a must listen. It's a very fun episode. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Jedi Master Deadpool and Delaney Twining. Today we're brought to you by BetterHelp, but we'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have 7 stories today.
The camera store was a minute ago. A baker's dozen.
I just love the cut to a blurry wall.
God damn.
Let's start with story number one. It's so incredible. Xbox is doing a partner showcase. This comes directly from Xbox Wire this morning. We are delighted to announce our next broadcast event, Xbox Partner Preview. This new show format will deliver a fresh mix of indie games and familiar favorites from our third-party partners like Ryu Gagotoku Studio, Remedy Entertainment, Studio Wildcard, and others, with more than 20 minutes of trailers and new gameplay footage. This event will be digitally broadcast on Wednesday, October 25th at 10 a.m. PT, showcasing updates and new looks at games coming to Xbox and Windows, as well as new info from some upcoming Game Pass titles from our incredibly talented creative third-party partners from around the world. You can expect to see the latest information on in-game activities for Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth, a launch trailer for Alan Wake 2, the first gameplay for Ark Survival Ascended, a dive into the social world of Dungeons of Hinterberg, and more. Following up on that, Tina Meany over at Xbox tweeted out, new show alert. Excited to put a new Xbox show format into the world soon. No hosts, no talking heads, just back-to-back trailers and updates. Hope you enjoy this
Wednesday.
State
of box, if you will.
We'll workshop that.
Yeah, we will. Yeah, but we'll, I mean, that's a state of play, essentially, right? Where it's just like, hey, here's just a bunch of trailers. There's not actually going to be... Yeah, but I wanted to say box. You know what I mean?
No, it's fair. It's fair. State of the box.
I love this. I'm interested in what this could look like. I am a big fan of showcases, obviously. Mm-hmm. Big fan of new formats for them. I do feel like it does hit that tipping point of there being too much. But I also think that Xbox has had a really big problem of having too much without definition. And this to me seems like what I want to see more of. Like the inside Xbox stuff, it's really cool. But that almost feels more like a really niche podcast series, as opposed to like, hey, this is a showcase that
it
we're
feels actually... almost like the PlayStation Blogcast.
Exactly. That is what it feels like. Yeah. And I feel like Xbox has been missing that middle ground showcase. That's not the, yo, expect the most major announcements ever, but hey, want to see some updates on games you want, maybe some fun announcements, that'll be cool. They did the Hi-Fi Rush thing earlier this year.
Yeah.
The developer underscore direct. Something like that. So they're trying, and I really appreciate that. And I'm hoping that we get to a point that it's kind of like settled soon. Even looking at the state of play side of things, like I feel like even they've made improvements over the last year to that format of how odd it could be. We had actually a person talking to us as opposed to just that voice, which was cool. And I thought that they did a good job with that state of play, at least in terms of presentation. So excited for this. I feel like they're setting the expectations correctly for it. I just hope that this ends with a keep doing the blogcast type thing, get this format down to be a general update show that we're not going to get too hyped for, but also we know there's going to be things that people are excited for shown and maybe a fun announcement. And then have something a bit more premium, like the showcases that we're used to for the Summer Game Fest
area. That's what I wonder about all of this is, what are you looking to get out of it in terms of reaction response? Is this something that you are hoping to build into something that people get hyped for, like a direct, like a state of play, like a showcase? Or is this just another additional thing for you to talk about your games, right? Because I think both methods are valid, right? Like both, you need like the longer form or like the, I guess, smaller hype form of, hey, we just want to talk about some games. We just want to display these things that we have going. It's in the same way that I look at PlayStation when they do like, we're going to tweet out 7 games this morning and have PlayStation blog posts about each of them, right? Like, I think you need those multi multi-level approaches to how you're going to talk about your games and like get them in front of people. That way you're able to kind of like keep yourself in that cycle.
It being a partner showcase, though, I mean, that's similar verbiage that Nintendo uses, right?
Yeah.
For its Nintendo Direct partner presentations or whatever.
And like those ones are, it's that interesting thing where Nintendo, because they put the Direct title to it, like the Nintendo Direct partner showcases or whatever, like there's a level of hype attached to it that not that it doesn't always warrant. I think now when you see the partner showcase with Nintendo, it is a, okay, it's a Direct, but it's one of these Directs.
Yeah. There's a weird reality to this all, though, that like, it's a double-edged sword, because you want the showcases to matter enough that it's worth watching,
yeah,
but you don't want the expectations to be too high that you can't deliver. And I think that at this point, it's impossible to actually pull that off, just with the amount of things that people are looking for and the amount of just straight up like red flags, green flags, it either worked or it didn't, of Metroid Prime 4 wasn't here, so fuck that showcase. Or, you know, whatever. They didn't fix Halo, so fuck this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there's just certain things that are just like, I feel like you're not going to get away from. But for the vast majority of people out there, and I think even, not even so much the majority, but even the people focused on these showcases in the way that we do, where we watch all of them and we can compare them to one another, I think that setting expectations, but still maintaining them being worth watching is the goal for all of them. And finding that scale, I think that there are those multiple tiers that you're talking about that they, all three, Nintendo, PlayStation, Xbox, are able to hit if they can just get everything to line up correctly. That's really hard,
like,
it's especially with the partner showcase, where it's not fully on them. But this is really smart to me, especially in the wake of all the news from last week, where Xbox needs to build these formats out now, because they're going to need a place to be able to talk about all the Game Pass updates and all the Activision stuff that's going to come over time. And while that probably won't be a partner showcase, I think it's smart to define a partner showcase now so that later they can potentially define some other thing that is like worth getting excited for.
Yeah, 1,000%. And also, like, when we talk about setting expectations, you know, like they talk about, you know, you can expect to see the latest information on Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth, a launch trailer for Alan Wake 2, first gameplay for Ark Survival Ascended, and a dive into Dungeons of Hinterberg, right? Like, leading off with that, I think paints a good picture of what you can expect, right? Like, usually when you're announcing one of these and you're attaching certain titles to them, right? Like, I feel like that is the barometer. You're going to get, this is the range of excitement that you can get here, right? And I think something like first gameplay of Ark Survival Ascended, that's pretty exciting, right? Like, for that audience, that's something that's really cool. That's a very popular game, right? And first gameplay there, that's super cool, right? I look at Dungeons of Hinterberg, and I'm like, I don't even know what that is. But also, like, I'm sure that's going to hit for whoever's going to hit for, right? Like, Alan Wake 2, a launch trailer, isn't as exciting, right? Because it's like, okay, well, the game's out. People are about to be playing it. A look into Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth. Again, like, there's an audience there that's for that. This very much feels like that mid-level, hey, we just want to have a conversation with the audience about what you can expect. And I think that is exciting. Another thing that I'm also curious about, though, is do we still get inside Xboxes? Like, that might be a question for Mike or just the chat, right? Like, if you guys want to write into You're Wrong, just let me know. When was the last inside Xbox? Because I feel like I don't see those happen as much. Is that a thing that's been phased out? Are they phasing in new things?
I don't think that it's been phased out. I just think that when we look at, like, it's October now, I feel like we've just had a really steady stream. I don't know why I said it that way. Of Xbox showcases of the bigger variety. And there's been so much going on with all just the Xbox news and, like, everything going on with the legal stuff that, like, I just feel like there hasn't been a place for that.
People in chat are saying that we haven't had one in, like, 3 years. Which could be a COVID thing, but also I think it might just be that inside Xbox wasn't as exciting, and I feel like this is kind of taking the place.
I hope so.
And that's, like, and I mean, to your point of, like, you know, having many things slash like having a multi-layered approach, inside Xbox I think felt like a catch-all to, hey, we have internal stuff we want to talk about, we have third-party stuff we want to talk about, and like sometimes it'd be exciting, but most of the time it wouldn't be as exciting. I think this year introducing the developer underscore direct stuff has worked really well, because that first one was super exciting because we got Hi-Fi Rush. We got the Starfield Direct, which I think they would lump into that brand, right? I'm sure if you asked Xbox, they're like, oh yeah, no, it's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Starfield Direct, fucking fantastic.
Oh yeah.
Right? Like, one of the best showcases of the year. And so I think they got something really cool with that, where they can really go ham and go, hey, let's put our first party things on a pedestal and really push the excitement here with our developer underscore directs. And then in an inside Xbox where you'd get the third party stuff, now let's turn that into like this Xbox partner preview where it is all about the third party. It is what we get from Nintendo from the partner showcases, right? But maybe we can spend more time doing a deeper dive into something like a Dragon that wouldn't fit on an Xbox showcase.
And you have something like Alan Wake 2 kind of headlining it in a way that, like, yeah, that game is imminent, so it's not necessarily the most exciting thing to get more Alan Wake 2 now. But that is what we've always seen from specifically Sony and Microsoft, of like wanting to own a game via marketing partnerships. So this is a really smart way to make people think of Alan Wake 2 as an Xbox game, even if it's not, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And everything that I just read here, or that you read, that I'm reading again, looking at this, doesn't use the word announcement at all, you know? So I wonder if we'll see anything. I don't necessarily expect it, but they do talk about Game Pass, right? And they say that some info on upcoming Game Pass titles from our incredibly talented creative third-party partners. I think it's really cool if they, like, we've talked for years on Games Daily about Out Today, and we go through a list of games that are, some of them sound real, some of them sound fake, and then we go through, oh, here's the Game Pass titles, or the Games with Gold titles this month, that PlayStation Premium, Extra Deluxe, whatever the fuck games you get this month. I feel like with what Game Pass has become, they are able to make that more exciting, and especially with the amount of partnerships they have. And I mean, dude, the proof's in the pudding when it comes to Xbox. Like, when it comes to their partners, when it comes to the Japanese side of studios, how much investment Xbox has made in making sure that all so many of those games are coming to Game Pass, like the Personas and all of that. Like, it's the slow kind of market domination that they're building to via partners, in addition to their first party lineup that, you know, at this point is now just ridiculous in terms of number of teams working on games. But when you add on top of that all these partners that they have that are putting games on Game Pass, that alone, I think, could be exciting news.
Oh, yeah.
For, dude, I mean, these showcases.
When we look at Xbox's 2024, we have an expectation of like what games we're going to see, right? But like the calendar isn't totally laid out. And I don't know, and this is a year wrong, maybe. I don't know if they have much going on for, like, let's say the first quarter of the year, maybe the first couple of quarters in terms of like big Xbox titles. Like, I don't know if they have like the month per month thing of like, you know, we got you a first party title every month. When I look at the 2024 calendar from Game Informer, right, like there's tons of opportunity to have like fun Game Pass stuff, even in January, right? You look there and there's Alone in the Dark that's coming out. There's Prince of Persia. There's Like a Dragon, Infinite Wealth. There's Tekken 8. Like, at least one of those is going to appear on Game Pass, maybe, right? You imagine that there's a chance. Let me know if Like a Dragon has been announced, actually, because I wouldn't be surprised if maybe that's one, the one that could end up there, right? You go to February, and it is like Granblue Fantasy Relink, Persona 3 Reload, which sounds like something that's probably going to be on Game Pass, right?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like, yeah, like for what this partner preview thing can be, I think this could be the place where it is. Hey, let's talk about our big hitters for Game Pass.
The Singer Bros says it is.
Which one?
Like a Dragon.
Like a Dragon? Okay, so there you go. And then, Persona 3 Reload. Well.
So, yeah, there you go,
like,
man.
Month per month, like, there's something there that's exciting. Both those are fucking big games to have on Game Pass.
Yeah, it is. And Game Pass is the business. So I feel like them focusing on that and, like, presenting it as if it's a big deal that they have these things is a good idea for them, and I think even for the audience and for understanding the value of Game Pass.
And for, like, when we look forward to it, right? Like, right now, they're talking about we're going to have a dive into Like a Dragon. I'm sure we're going to have another one of these, let's say, December or January, that's going to be a dive into Persona 3 Reload, and like, that's exciting. Like, the idea of being able to tee up, like, hey, we have a Game Pass title that's coming out in a few months and it's a big AAA thing, let's have like our own exclusive deep dive into it. I think there could be gold here.
Yeah, I'm excited for it. We will be live reacting to this.
Oh, hell yeah.
On Wednesday.
Let's go.
So
twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames.
Hell yeah.
Story number two, we got a Metal Gear Solid Master Collection Volume 1 review roundup for you. Right now on Metacritic, it is sitting at a 79. On OpenCritic, it is sitting at a 76. Richard Wakeling at GameSpot gave it an 8 out of 10 and says, Konami has still put together a comprehensive bundle collecting 5 highly influential games and multiple variations from a period spanning 24 years. There are other ways to play these games, but I think we often undersell the appeal of convenience. Being able to easily access them all on a modern console is a major selling point. For someone like me, who only ever owned the original games on their original consoles, Metal Gear Solid Master Collection Volume 1 is indispensable. It's disappointing that there aren't any option visual improvements or behind-the-scenes material, and the lack of a central hub makes the bundle feel scattershot. The bonus content that is here is simply a cherry on top, however, lending the entire package a sense of reverence for one of the most important series in video game history. James Billcliff at VG247 gave it 3 out of 5 stars and says the master books are bursting with interesting tidbits that helped me to contextualize each game and the storyline as a whole better than ever before. But there's relatively little within the games themselves to make this a real must-have if you still have access to previous collections and releases. And then Scott McCrae at the Daily Mirror gave it 5 out of 5 stars and says, if you expected spruced-up versions of these titles, you'll leave disappointed. But if you're after a way to play one of the best video game series ever made on modern platforms wrapped in a nice package, you won't be disappointed. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to welcome to the stage, once again, the one and only Greg Miller.
Hello, everyone. It's me, Greg Miller.
Greg, you've gotten to play Metal Gear Solid Master Collection Volume 1.
Right. We're in the middle of a million other reviews, so what I've been doing is I have them all downloaded, but I've actually been playing Metal Gear Solid 1, yeah, where I've just been popping in and kicking the tires and feeling what it's about and doing the whole thing. Everything these reviews are saying is correct, right? Like, it's not some, wow, they really went above and beyond to make this some kind of crazy collection, but they also didn't fuck it up, which I think at that point is like, okay, cool. And I do appreciate Volume 1. The belief that we'll Volume 2 would have everything in one place where we could finally play Metal Gear Solid 4 again is exciting. For me, yeah, it's, you know, Metal Gear Solid, ladies and gentlemen, has a nice trophy list. Let me say that right now. Woo. All right, so that's exciting. Of a platinum, I feel, is more obtainable than sometimes they are, as you saw with Metal Gear Solid 5.
Has Metal Gear Solid 1 had a platinum before, and if so, have you gotten it?
I've never gotten it, and I would be... I don't think so, chat. This is where you'd correct me, right? Because we just had the PS1 Classic version, which didn't have trophies before, unless I'm forgetting something, but I'm also...
Was it like a mobile or a handheld version?
No, because it was PS1 Classics would be on Vita as well.
Yeah.
No, this is the first time everybody's got my back on that one. Good, just making sure I wasn't speaking out of turn. There's the one of, like, get the code name Big Boss or Fox, I believe, and I haven't actually looked in, so that could be difficult, but it's also, like, you'd be coming back and doing it again with stealth camouflage and unlimited ammo. I'm sure it'd be fine. But more than anything, they didn't fuck it up, and I am enjoying playing it. And, like, what a trip to be in my basement, you know what I mean? Sitting there playing this thing and be like, God, like, this is such a turning point in my life, and to have it on the 80-inch OLED, you know what I mean? Sitting there playing it, and then, like, you know, to hear David Hayter again, awesome. To go back to have it be both, man, this is so simple, but then also, man, I keep getting fucking caught. You know what I mean? Like, all different things. It plays really well. I'm having a great time. I intend to keep chipping away at it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm super excited for it, man. Like, I think I want to play it on Switch. I love my Switch for so many reasons, but I really love the collections of games, like old games. Like, it's kind of just grown to just be such an amazing piece of hardware to just have libraries of so many, like, bundles of old games or like things like this that are just great. So I'm excited. I've never beaten Metal Gear Solid 1, the original.
Wow.
So I'm hoping to do it here because I beat Twin Snakes. I'm excited to do it here. I'm a little bummed about the resolution and stuff on the Switch, and it's such a such a bummer. It just seems like such an unnecessary thing, but you know what? I'll live with it.
I do wish the packaging of it was better, because you install it and it is, they're all installed as different games.
There's so many. Yeah, it's like so obtuse.
Yeah, it's like 4 different icons.
There's one, and there's like 2 things that have the same icon too at some point.
Yeah. But yeah, like, I wish, you know, we've come up now with, like, Atari collections and really cool, like, museum style introductions into video games.
Rare Replay.
Yeah, Rare Replay, where it is you click in and before you even boot up a game, right, like, you get like a fun visual, fun synopsis, like a fun little, like, really cool special features that I think should become the standard, right?
And these, like, are like, yeah, there's like the book, like, there's the entire script on there, and then there's like the timeline. There are things in there, but I don't think they're new for this, right? The recollection from the other things.
Like,
that
even when you boot it up, right? Like, the Blue Point logo is one of the first things to pop up for me when I booted up Metal Gear Solid 3, and I was like, okay, so this is just a repackaging of that version of the remaster. Okay, but I will say, like, when I got the collection, right? Like, I booted up Metal Gear Solid 3. And I played the first 30 minutes. And by play, I mean I watched the first 30 minutes. Just like the full cutscene. And God, like, is it still good? Like, it's incredible still.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, playing Metal Gear. Fuck yes. Take
Dude,
me back.
Yes.
What do you got to say, Naomi? Let's fucking go.
Let's go. Oh, yeah.
All right.
Thank you, Greg.
Good seeing you guys.
Yeah. Fox, die.
Story number 3.
Die.
The Fallout TV show has a release date. This comes directly from Twitter. This is tweeted out by @FalloutOnPrime. Please remain calm. An important dated message brought to you by your friends at Prime Video. There's like a cool little teaser here that's doing like the fun like Fallout terminal thing. And it reveals that the first episode of the Fallout TV show is coming out April 12th, 2024. Tim, I'm very excited about this.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I mean, I hope it's good. Mm-hmm. That's my big worry, is this going to be quality? Is this going to live up? Is this going to be another one in, like, the, I guess, the dominoes of video game TV shows and TV adaptations and movie adaptations, right? Because we've gotten a really good streak lately. I love Fallout. I love the world of Fallout. I really need Fallout to be part of that streak. Because yeah. I think there's such good potential in terms of the world and lore that could lend itself to a really good TV show. And I really hope they nail it.
I think the potential is there. And I feel like this is one you look at all the elements that are working on this, and like Amazon money behind it, and like them positioning this as like a premiere show. Mm-hmm. I feel like there's a higher likelihood than not that it's good. But that's just based on the last year, I would say, of these type of projects. Mm-hmm. Definitely not a guarantee. And we'll just have to see when it comes out. But yeah, April, not too far away. I'm sure. Yeah. I imagine maybe Game Awards or something. We get a trailer.
That's my, yeah. I hope we see you soon. Like, what does the actual world look like? Like, this is what the second thing we've gotten in terms of like promotional stuff. There was a promotional image of just like a welcome to the world type thing, right? And like, the big complaint with that was that they very obviously used AI generative stuff to make that promotional image. And so like, already starting off on not a great foot there, but like, that doesn't mean that the show is going to be bad. And so I'm hoping that lives up there. But yeah, I can't wait to see, like, all right, what's the deal with the vault? Like, what's the gimmick here? You know, like, what's the weird, insane experiment that they're running on these people? And then, yeah, like, how are you capturing a post-apocalyptic world? Yeah. You know, are you able to nail that? Because I think that is the thing that you got to get right. That's the thing that I think we love so much about The Last of Us, for example, is that, like, you look at the dilapidation, you look at how, like, you know, overgrown all the fungi is and all this stuff, and it's, wow, this looks like Last of Us. Like, mm-hmm. this looks post-apocalyptic in a really cool way. I think that's a big thing you got to nail for Fallout. And so,
yeah. I think there's enough visual identity elements in Fallout that they already have that leg up. Like, in the same way that Last of Us, like, I mean, look, I'm not saying it's easy,
yeah.
But they had a lot to work with, where we knew that the buildings had to be covered in green.
Yeah.
That's Last of Us. That's the look of that. Fallout with a little vault boy, like the vaults themselves, the outfits. Like, there's just so many things that I think are, mm-hmm. quote unquote, easy to just nail. And then the rest of it's kind of like, you need a good story.
Yeah.
You need something that's compelling. Like, you need hooks that aren't just for the gamers and references and like, oh, I know that member berry stuff. Like, you need something real. And I think that with the backdrop of the Fallout world, they could do that.
I hope so. And also, I hope you get like a re-release of Fallout 3, like Fallout New Vegas, like a good, maybe a collection, maybe a remaster, maybe even a remake. I think something along those lines would pair well with a Fallout TV show in the same way that we got Last of Us Part 1 with the Last of Us TV show. Mm. But these are dreams. If you want to dream big, let me tell you about patreon.com/kindoffunny. Over on patreon.com/kindoffunny, you can go there and get the show ad-free. And speaking of ads, let us tell you about our sponsors.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Do you ever feel like your brain is getting in its own way? I can't even count the amount of nights I lose sleep just because I can't stop thinking and my brain just won't stop talking. It turns out one great way to make those racing thoughts go away is to talk through them. Therapy gives you a great place to do that so you can get out of your negative thought cycles and find some mental and emotional peace. And it can give you the tools to find more balance in your life so you can keep supporting others without leaving yourself behind. Some of my best friends use BetterHelp and love how helpful it can be for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself, and it isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapist anytime for no additional charge. You can make your brain your friend with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/kindoffunny today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/kindoffunny. BetterHelp.com/kindoffunny.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
And we're back. With story number 4, Spider-Man 2 sales are in. That was an incredible angle.
The gym needs a lot of refinement. Listen, and I'm sitting here trying my best to like build it as we also cut this. So I apologize for earlier when I left it on Blessed for way too long because I was looking at the wrong camera.
We're trying out here. Yeah, there's a lot going on.
I just love also just looking up and seeing the gym like just slowly moving. And I'm like, I'm like, what's going on? What are you looking at over there? Story number 4, Spider-Man 2 sales are in. This comes directly from PlayStation on Twitter, where they tweeted out this morning, "Great news, Spidey fans. Marvel's hashtag Spider-Man 2 PS5 has sold more than 2.5 million copies in the first 24 hours. Thanks for making this a high-flying launch." With that, they have a promotional image attached to it that, yeah, shows that it's rocking and it's going to load for more than 2.5 million players. And then they have next to it is the fastest-selling PlayStation Studios game in PlayStation history.
That is absolutely wild, but expected. We've been talking about this for years. Mm-hmm. PlayStation has just been crushing it with their big first-party titles, and every time they put out one of the big ones, we expect it to break records. And yeah, we've been looking at Spider-Man 2 being like, oh, it's going to destroy. It's Spider-Man. And obviously, now that we know, the game is as good as we all hoped it would be. Yes, it's going to crush sales, and it's doing that. Congratulations to all of them. This is awesome.
My one beef with this is it being the first 24 hours and not like the first 3 days.
Yeah.
You can't compare beat for beat. Like I take their word for it that it's the fastest selling, right? But like, it's the fastest selling within one day.
I was trying to find a tweet that I sent myself, and then when I went back, it was gone. I was like, what's happening here? There was an update. So Steven Totillo tweeted, "It's impressive Spider-Man 2 sold 2.5 million copies in one day. Sony's fastest selling could be, but the standard changes. Previous fastest selling PlayStation exclusives, Spider-Man 1, 3.3 million in 3 days. Last of Us Part 2, 4 million in 3 days. God of War Ragnarok, 5.1 million in 5 days. So yeah. We're kind of using a bunch of things just to like get the headline out there.
Because the argument we've had before, right, is like, is Spider-Man 2 going to be the fastest selling, quote unquote, fastest selling PlayStation game being a PS5 exclusive? Because when you look at God of War Ragnarok, right, and you look at the others, you're talking about PS4 fan base in there, which is going to boost the numbers up.
You're so right.
Will Spider-Man 2 get it there with only being a PS5 exclusive?
Yeah.
And like, I guess arguably, like, that's the thing, is the fastest selling is such a weird word. Because in the first day, sure, yeah, like, I would imagine that that carries over into like day 2, 3, and 4.
Yeah, I mean, you got to imagine. That's the thing, is like, I don't look at this as like Sony trying to be fucking weird.
No.
I look at this as like, what's the most impressive sounding thing for the headlines? And like, because like, look, the reality is it's not like they're trying to hide something here. Like, and if they are, it's because of what you're saying here with like PS5 install base versus the other things. But like, are you telling me that in like a month we're not going to be talking about Spider-Man sales being astronomically high?
Right? Like, I think regardless, like no matter the stat, right? Like Spider-Man 2 is going to sell phenomenally well. I think it's more so the thing of how can we make this the fastest selling PlayStation game?
Right? Yeah.
All right, cool. Hey, instead of doing first 5 days, let's shorten up to first day because we can make that claim.
Which, cool.
Which, good
they
for y'all.
They can claim that and it's real.
Yeah. So, and this is only a stat that really applies to PlayStation because nobody else really uses fastest selling.
Yeah. So, because at the end of the day, it's about sales. And I think that this game's going to sell incredibly well.
Because we talked about this a few days ago around on KFGD of like, 12 months from now, is Spider-Man 2 going to be the highest selling game of 2023? Because I had some blowback on that, of people on Twitter being like, oh, but it's an exclusive, like it's only on one platform, yada, yada, yada. And like, I don't really buy that because like right now, I'm pretty sure the second best selling game of the year is Zelda, which of course,
see, Switch, I mean, that's the thing.
Yeah.
Oh man, there's a lot to break down here. What was the by what date did you say? By a year?
Yeah, like let's say by the end of 2024, what will be the best-selling game of 2023?
Yeah, see, God, that's complicated. Because here's my problem. Mm-hmm. Mario Wonder. Mario Wonder, selling very well. Not selling the most ever right now. 2D Mario games have legs. 2D Mario Wonder, I think, at the end of the day, will sell more than Spider-Man 2. I don't know if it'll do that in the next year, though.
See, I'm almost flipped. Where I think maybe in the next year, I could see Mario Wonder outselling Spider-Man 2 just based on like how many Switches are out there and yeah, how much legs Mario has. But I think the thing is, what, at the end of the day, we're gonna have the ports. We're gonna have, like, I think just the long lasting legs of Spider-Man, where I think if you're somebody who's gonna buy a PS5, you're also gonna buy Spider-Man 2. Like, I think those things just go hand in hand in a way where the Switch now has so many options. Like, not everybody that has a Switch needs to go out and get Mario Wonder.
But bless. How many copies do you think New Super Mario Brothers U Deluxe sold on the Switch? Speculation, everybody.
If I had to guess, for Mario 1 or for New Super Mario,
New Super Mario Brothers U Deluxe, the ports of the Wii U game that nobody fucking likes,
I'm going to say 13 million.
As of June 30th, my birthday this year, 16.17 million copies. Mario Wonder's going to crush.
Yeah, Mario Wonder's going to outsell that. But, like, by, well, here's the thing, right? By how much?
I don't know.
Because let's say Mario Wonder gets to 19 million.
I think Mario Wonder could get to 30 million.
You think Mario Wonder can get to 30 million?
In a year? No. But
at the end of the day?
I think so.
See, I would... cap it is a weird word because you can't really cap it because Mario Wonder's going to sell forever based on how Nintendo works. I would say 20 million. But then, like, if I was to compare that to Spider-Man 2, at the end of the day, how much is that going to sell?
I mean,
I would almost say that they're comparable.
So I don't know. I think Mario at the end of the day is going to beat Spider-Man 2 by, like, a large enough margin that it's very clear.
Okay.
Looking at this, you don't know. This is hard. Like, this is a little outdated numbers, but as of 2022, the Spider-Man games, so all of them, Miles Morales, Spider-Man remasters, all of that totaled 33 million.
Okay. Okay, yeah, I think it's going to be Mario.
Yeah, I think Spider-Man's going to, and again, that's with PS4 install base, not PS5 install base.
I mean, here's the wrench I'm going to throw into it is Hogwarts Legacy. Because Hogwarts Legacy, I believe, is the highest selling game of the year currently. And that's one that I could see continuing on.
That would make
just
sense.
Based, I mean, on the fan.
The Call of Duties, like, who knows? Like, there's so many, like, X factors here.
Yeah, like, I'm finding it from Game Rant, right? Despite competition from many other excellent games that were released during 2023, Hogwarts Legacy is still 2023's most successful launch. The title sold over 15 million copies. And this was written on September 4th.
Yeah.
That game came out in, like, February.
Yeah.
15 million.
Yeah.
Insane. We'll see, though. We'll see. For now, let's talk more about sales. With story number 5, Lords of the Fallen sales are also in. This is from the homie Noble on Twitter. They tweeted out, Lords of the Fallen sold 1 million copies worldwide in its first 10 days after release. Congrats, Lords of the Fallen. It's so funny, like, talking about the games that we're talking about, right? Which are, like, Mario, Spider-Man, Hogwarts, the biggest IP ever.
Yeah.
And then you look at, like, a regular video game. And regular how much video that sell? That
Lords
sells.
Of the Fallen, but 1 million.
1 million,
like,
is very,
congrats,
is very good.
To them, man. Like, again, this year has been awesome for video games in terms of quality and in terms of people playing games and people opening themselves up to new genres and like, maybe you're not new genres, but, like, genres that aren't necessarily the highest selling things ever.
Yeah.
This is a major win for this. Obviously, I could bring Baldur's Gate into it, of, like,
which I don't think we even know, like, full Baldur's Gate 3 sales. That might be in the conversation as well. Because they don't report on MPD.
Yeah, that's interesting. I don't think that they're, I mean, I think it's really high. I don't think it's going to be in the conversation of, like,
the best
of a Mario or Spider-Man.
If I had to guess, Baldur's Gate 3 is probably top 5 of the year currently.
Currently is a
very strong word in this. Yeah, currently.
Yeah, yeah,
I put it in the top 5. Moving on to story number 6, PlayStation's visual arts studio has been hit with layoffs. This is Sophie McAvoy at GamesIndustry.biz. PlayStation support studio Visual Arts has been hit with another round of layoffs, with several former employees sharing on social media last week that they had been let go. Quote, unfortunately, following a wave of layoffs, last week was my last at PlayStation, a former senior level designer at Visual Arts, Daniel Bellamar, wrote on LinkedIn. Senior technical recruiter Matt Barney shared a similar update on LinkedIn, adding that he, quote, knew this layoff was coming and wished those impacted the best of luck in their future endeavors. Rigging artist Sean Teo posted to social media that their contract had come to an end as well, but as noted by VGC, did not indicate whether this was related to layoffs. It's unclear how many staff have been impacted by the redundancies at this stage. GamesIndustry.biz has reached out to Sony for more information. A first wave of layoffs took place at Visual Arts in May, according to former project coordinator John Borba, who wrote on LinkedIn that there was restructuring within the studio and that he was among the people let go to support budgetary needs. Visual Arts was launched in 2007 and is known for working as a support studio on The Last of Us, Uncharted, and Spider-Man. Another one in the ongoing list of layoffs in the industry. And as always, right, like, our hearts go out to people who've lost their jobs. That always sucks. But also, man, like, what an insane year for tech in general, right? But, like, you know, when we look into video games, the amount of just, like, shitty things that have happened, right? The amount of people that have lost their jobs.
Absolutely, man. It's horrendous. And, like, looking at this, this is another one that feels a little bit different, too, because, like, just timing-wise of this, like, you look at the why for all these stories of, like, what caused this. And the Visual Arts, who I'm not familiar with,
they're just a support studio.
Yeah. Before today, did you know that, though?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Well, cool. they had, like, the rumors of, like, them being the ones who were going to be responsible for The Last of Us Part 1 remake, but then, like,
oh, it's that group. Okay, cool. Yeah. Because yeah. I'm talking about here, Last of Us, Uncharted, Spider-Man. Like, I wonder how much of this is just kind of where PlayStation Studios are at with their current run of things, of, like, this type of support studio not needing to be as beefy for potentially their games as a service projects that they have coming out or something like that. But maybe that's reading into it too much. But
yeah, I mean, right. Like, it's like, I think it might be the thing also of just, hey, video games are getting more expensive to make and, like, things are tightening up across the board in the industry. And so even PlayStation has to look and go, all right, like, where can we cut some costs? Where can we figure this stuff out? Maybe that, if I had to, like, speculate a little bit, right? Like, if I remember correctly about, like, the whole Forbes, or not Forbes, like, Jason Schreier article about it, right? Like, I believe there was some of it might have been, hey, like, we wanted to take on these different projects and none of them stuck with us, and so, like, because we're not working on a bigger project now, and, like, we're sticking to doing our support work, you know, like, we don't have as much of a need to have this many people on the team. Again, that's, like, me speculating, but I think either way, right, like, damn, like, I think either way, it is just the tightening of the pockets for the games industry. Hey, like, things are expensive right now, and so these are the cuts we make.
Very unfortunate.
Very unfortunate. Final news story. Story number 7. We're going back to Speculation Station. Far Cry's multiplayer game is an extraction-based shooter. This is Tom Henderson at Insider Gaming. A second Far Cry game is in development, and it's an extraction-based multiplayer shooter completely separate from Far Cry 7, Insider Gaming has learned.
Can I stop you right there?
Yeah.
A second Far Cry game is in development. Like, phrasing that is just so fucking funny. But also, did we know Far Cry 7 was, like, official? Or is it just,
it's,
like,
not official.
It's just, like, a lot of, like,
this is Insider Gaming, which, like, Insider Gaming, if you're unaware of Insider Gaming, right, it is a lot of, like, reports and quote-unquote insider stuff, right? So that's why I always attach a grain of salt or speculation to any of their stories, because, like, Tom Henderson has gotten plenty of things right in the past.
Yes.
Like, Tom Henderson was the one who was talking all about the detachable disk drive PlayStation, right? Mm-hmm. Like, Tom Henderson, I think, is in the know. But at the same time, it's like, man, all right, you got some wild news out here. This is an extraction-based Far Cry game. All right, cool. Like, we're going to talk
not
about it.
Not surprised at all.
Maybe a little surprised. I don't know. Rainbow Six Extraction happened, and, like, that came and went so quickly in a way where I'm like, oh, you're going to do that with Far Cry now?
Has that stopped Ubisoft ever, bless?
No, you're right. Yeah, I mean, it hasn't. As reported in January 2023, Ubisoft is working on two individual Far Cry projects headed by Ubisoft Montreal. While both games were under the same banner several years ago, under the codenamed Talisker, management changes and the game scope changed direction. The result was two Far Cry projects, Far Cry 7, which is Ubisoft's next mainline title and is internally known as Project Blackbird, while its multiplayer game is called Project Maverick. Both games are now completely separate entities, with Maverick morphing into a Far Cry extraction-based multiplayer experience. I'm going to pause there and say, how many publishers do you think have a title that is codenamed Project Maverick?
Yeah.
I feel like that must be one of the most popular codenames out there.
Good Maverick. For them. Great movie.
Good for Top Gun. It's understood that the Far Cry multiplayer project has changed scope several times over its several-year development cycle. With Ubisoft now set on the game being an extract-based shooter, set in a fictional Alaskan setting named Alishnika. The game's lore evolves around the player being lured into the region with the promise of freedom, only to discover a land of chaos with trust between people being virtually non-existent. In true Far Cry fashion, players will need to search the environment for resources in order to survive. Resources include killing animals for leather to make gear, finding chemicals to make gadgets, harvesting plants for medical supplies, and finding weapon parts and bullet casings for weapons and ammo. A Far Cry extraction shooter, Tim. This sounds like a Tim Geddes ass game.
Oh yeah, that's exactly what I want. You know, 10 out of 10. Nah, I mean, not surprised by this. I feel like this is very in line with just Ubisoft in general. Mm-hmm. I remain waiting to see a Ubisoft that I believe in. Mm-hmm. It's been a long time. Having said that, can't complain because we're getting Prince of Persia next year.
Hell yeah. Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. I was talking to Mike about this on the show a while ago where I'm like, I don't know, man. Extraction shooters in theory sound really cool. Like, oh yeah, a couple teams, they drop on like a map and they have to like extract things and like take them out before maybe they get killed something. Or whatever. Maybe you shoot something. There's also NPCs, like enemies that you have to take out. Like, it sounds like a fun genre, but I the hits are so few and far between, right? Like, you're talking about Tarkov, you're talking about Hunt Showdown, right? And even those names are names that, like, I tell to you, Tim. Yeah. Tim, what can you tell me about Hunt Showdown?
I mean, that's the thing. I know it
what
exists.
Can you tell me about Tarkov?
It's a game.
Yeah, like, I know Mike was playing, what was that game that Mike and the streaming crew was playing that then got announced that it was getting shut down a few months ago, right? Like, I feel like that is the story with a lot of these. I would say that, a Far Cry based extraction shooter based on hunting and gathering and all this stuff, that sounds like a good idea. That sounds like it could work. But I would also say the same exact thing about Rainbow Six Extraction, which again came and went. And so I look at this and I'm like, hey, I wish you the best. I hope this works. I hope this is fun, because if this is something that is fun, I'll play this, because I don't know, that sounds fun, but it's just that these don't work.
I think it's important to point out
the Psycho Frontier thing
that Assassin's Creed Mirage like worked. Yeah. I feel we were all pretty hesitant about it overall. Like, you know, obviously like Barrett was excited for it, but we were all kind of like, all right, they're going back to basics, but it kind of just felt like they had no choice but to do that. Like, they just needed to put more games out. And so it's like, all right, here's this thing. But it reviewed well. People really liked it, selling well. So I'm hopeful that Ubisoft approved that they can get things right.
Oh, for sure.
You know?
Yeah.
So I'm hoping to see more of those things. And hey, they're trying something different. It's more Far Cry.
Best thing is, when you say they're trying something different, they're trying something that's the same. Like, yeah, they're trying, here's the thing. They're going, hey, let's try something different. Let's take an IP that we made a million entries in and take a genre that we've tried before and merge them together. Certainly, like, we're going to freshen up a franchise that needs a bit freshening up with a genre that, again, we tried with Rainbow Six and didn't pan out. I'm sure that's going to save Far Cry.
A second Far Cry game is in development.
What's happening? Why are we doing this? I also think it might be going back to the conversation that we've had about, you know, we've had this about Embracer, where Embracer's like, we are going to exploit Lord of the Rings, right? Yes. Like, but like, that's all, it's a bad word to describe how I think a lot of publishers think about their IP, which is, you know, what IP do we have? What are the biggest and most profitable IP? How do we use these IP? Quote unquote, exploit these IP. How do we like maximize the potential of these IP, right? I think would be the more appropriate way to say it. We've seen Nintendo do it. Nintendo makes a million Mario games. Guess what? They know how to make a million Mario games because they figured that shit out, right? They figured out the different genres of it. They figured out how to make a Mario Kart and Mario sports games and Mario 2D and 3D platformers. PlayStation's trying to figure that out too, right? We got a Horizon multiplayer game coming out at some point soon, right? Like, you know, PlayStation is in, I think PlayStation's probably going to get it right for a lot of that stuff. Maybe not with Last of Us Factions, but I digress. I think Ubisoft, you know, they've talked about, hey, like, let's focus in on Assassin's Creed and like our franchises that we know that work, right? Let's take in a Star Wars. Let's take in an Avatar. Let's take in these big, you know, big budget slash very profitable IP that we know are going to make wins for us. I think Far Cry, Ubisoft looks at as one of those IPs. And so I think that's how you end up getting here, is you go, what is something else we can do with Far Cry? And you just start like throwing shit at a wall and seeing what sticks.
What if it was all blue people?
What if we made Far Cry, but it was all blue people and they wore regular t-shirts from fucking TJ Maxx?
We're about to find out in December.
We're about to find out. But yeah, like, I hope that they find a happy medium. I hope that they find something that works. I probably wouldn't ask for a Far Cry extraction shooter, but I get why you want to do more things with Far Cry, because Far Cry works. Far Cry sells, you know, people like it generally. You know, it doesn't blow their minds, but they like it generally. It's like Watch Dogs. And so I'm hoping for the best.
Yeah. Absolutely. Real quick, you mentioned in Mario, Nintendo now has to make Mario. I saw a tweet this morning that I don't remember who said it. I don't know how valid it is. There's a lot of just, I'm just repeating shit here. Mm-hmm. But I want to believe in it. The tweet said that five people made Super Mario Brothers 1.
I saw the same tweet. And I was like, is that true?
Yeah. So it might not be true, everybody. Mm. Five people made Super Mario Brothers 1 in 1985. Here we are, many, many years later. And four out of five of those people worked on Mario Wonder.
If that's true, that's insane.
It's so cool.
That's really cool, though. Like, then that's... That was the same conversation people were having about Zelda Tears of the Kingdom, where you're like, how is this game so good? How does this work this well? Like, how are you able to do this? And a lot of people were like, hey, this is what happens when you keep people around. And, like, just knowledge feeds down from, hey, we've been doing this for 40 years.
Wild. Absolutely wild.
But yeah, if that's true, that's insane and really cool. And so, Casino Bella and Chess is 4 out of 5 dentists agree, which I don't know why that got me. Tim, very excited to see what this Far Cry game looks like. We're going to get in there. We're going to shoot them some things. We're going to extract them.
Maybe we extract. I don't know.
But extracting things is just so far away.
Yeah, it is.
If I wanted to know what's coming out to Mom Grab Shops today, where would I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Yeah! What do you think happened to the one guy that left?
That's a great question. Honestly, I've been thinking about that all day. Like, since I saw that tweet, that's all I've been thinking about, Wes.
That man is Phil Spencer.
Oh, my God.
Out today, we got SpongeBob SquarePants The Cosmic Shake for PS5 and Xbox Series X, Bad Dreams for PS5, and then Dungeon Full Dive for PC. We got no new dates
for
you.
How the fuck is SpongeBob SquarePants The Cosmic Shake still coming out? I swear to God, we've talked about this 15
times.
This
is definitely, like, the third or fourth time where it's been on Out Today. No new dates. We got one deal today for you. Riders Republic for PS4 is $8.55 on Amazon.
Cool.
Riders Republic, good game. Fun time. All right. I stand by it.
Is it worth $4.55?
$8.55. And yes. I would say yes. For that price, buy and play Riders Republic. Tim, we got some reader mail for you. Of course, people can write into kindoffunny.com/KFGD to get your questions read on the show. Jake Rocks 007 wrote in twice.
Wow.
Jake Rocks 007, mad about two different things.
No.
I'm going to have you choose
which
thing we talk about. So do you want to talk about bugs in Spider-Man 2?
Okay.
Or do you want to talk about the future of PlayStation and why Jake Rocks 007 is worried?
Ooh. Let's go bugs.
Let's go bugs. So, funny enough, Jake Rocks 007 is one of, like, quite a few people that actually wrote in about this. So this is a good one. He writes in and says, I want to start off by saying I'm enjoying Spider-Man 2. However, this might be the most bugs I've had in a game all year. I've had multiple crashes, bugged quests, NPC clipping, and had to load last checkpoints because it won't load the next section correct multiple times. My question is, seeing other people bring up these similar issues online, how did no review bring up the amount of bugs in this game?
Well, technically, spiders aren't bugs.
Got him.
Yeah, here's the thing. It always surprises me that I don't think a single video game has come out that people could say there's no bugs without somebody being like, I had hella bugs.
Yeah.
I have never had a AAA experience as AAA as Spider-Man 2 with as few bugs as I had in Spider-Man 2. I think in my 32 hours with it so far, there's been, like, one time where a character, like, went through the floor a little bit, and then one time where it kind of just, like, glitched out and the camera got really weird and there was some weird shit. That was it. That was my experience. Andy, way more bugs.
I had a lot of bugs,
too. Ton of bugs.
Yeah.
So that's the thing that I'm like, I don't know. Like, I feel having said that, and I've talked about this a lot in the office. I don't think I've talked about it on content yet. Spider-Man 2, playing that game, my PS5 died.
Oh, yeah.
It overheated to the point that it died. Mm-hmm. But that started with Final Fantasy 16, and I don't think it was Spider-Man 2's fault. I think it was the PlayStation 5's fault at a certain point. But yeah, I just think that video games are going to have bugs, and there's a lot of them. And you look back to how Jedi Survivor came out earlier this year, and it's like the amount of bugs in that game will forever taint the way people think and remember that game. Yeah. And that is so, so unfortunate because it's a great game. But people on top of the bugs because they put out a buggy-ass product, right? Yeah. Whereas Spider-Man 2, I think right now it's caught in the thing of, like, overall, it's pretty like relatively bug free.
Yeah.
And then there are the people that are just like trying to make such a big deal out of certain bugs that are like just the console warriors of it all.
Yeah.
Gets so nasty so fast. And people like sharing funny things, and I feel like it starts there. So like I've seen like the Spider-Man cube.
I've seen so many of the cube. Like I think that's probably the most recurring one where the first day of playing Spider-Man 2 to come to the office, and I think Roger might have talked about how like, oh yeah, I turned into a cube. And then Janet Garcia posted a video of her as a cube. And I've just like, I've seen plenty of TikToks about being a cube, which is funny. And like, I think that's the thing. I think it's a multi-layered conversation of one, mileage varies when it comes to performance in games, right? Like you didn't have any bugs, right? And I believe that I had some bugs, right? Like I'm sure there's plenty of people that are playing Spider-Man 2 that aren't having any bugs. Like that has to be a very, like these are, like cases of people that have some and don't have some, and guess what, that happens. I'm sure maybe when IGN was playing, or maybe when like certain outlets were playing, maybe none of them had bugs, right? Maybe others did. That's just the reality of like playing a game like this.
And I think it's the reality of how games are these days, where there are so many options, there's so many different things that can change people's experience.
Yeah.
Where were you playing performance mode, were you playing fidelity mode, were you playing the VRR 120 hertz modes? Like all those things are optimized differently. So if there's one person playing a specific way, maybe they see nothing, but other people play a different way. And who knows what factor is causing all these problems, but there's so much at play that could happen. And
There is full disclosure for our review, like walking out after the review, and I remembered my bugs and I was like, oh, fuck, I meant to talk about that. Right. And like, I was talking to Roger. I think Roger said the same thing about Andy, where Andy was like, oh, shit, I meant to talk about that too. Right. Like, that was one of those things that was on our list to talk about, but also like, I think it was low on the list because comparatively there are other bigger things that pertain to the game in an hour long review that feel a bit more, I guess, like important to talk about before we get to the bugs. Cause it's not Cyberpunk 2077, right? It's not Jedi Survivor. Like for me, playing through Spider-Man 2 is as buggy as every Insomniac game for me. Cause guess what? For me, every Insomniac game I play is a bit buggy. Like it's not like a new experience for Spider-Man 2. I know a lot of people don't have that same thing. And for that, like, it's like, I don't know what to tell you.
It's so, like, I guess, like, the thing that I am having trouble rectifying is when a bit buggy becomes a problem.
Yeah, that's because the other thing.
Because to me, a bit buggy, it's like, it's a fucking video game. Like, I watch movies and they can glitch out sometime or have weird color issues or stuff. And it's like, you just kind of either fix it or deal with it. Or I feel like when a game is buggy to a point, it is getting in the way of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's like, oh, it should be brought up in a review. If a game just has a couple bugs, it's like, that's, I don't know. I haven't played a game that doesn't have bugs.
Yeah. I think for me, I think I had enough bugs in Spider-Man 2 where it's like, I should maybe talk about this a little bit. But also there was the thing of, there's a day zero patch and a day one patch. And also like, it's a tough thing. Because this is a thing that I've tried to feed into my reviews ever since playing Cyberpunk 2077. Because I remember reviewing Cyberpunk at launch and like, having plenty of bugs, and I talked about those bugs in the review, but I kept talking about that with the caveat of, hey, I don't have the day one patch. They keep promising a day one patch. These are the bugs I had, just so you know. But like, you know, there's a 50 gigabyte patch here that might fix it all. And guess what? Like the 50 big gigabyte patch did come, but it didn't fix it all. And so since then, for me, it is the thing of like, hey, cool, I'll just disclose this like whenever I'm playing. And like, I've tried to do a good job about doing that. Again, I meant to do that for Spider-Man 2, but also, yeah, it's the thing of none of the bugs I had were game breaking. Like the bugs I had, I had one bug where I went to a thing, like I had to like trigger the next thing and hold triangle at the action button to like trigger the cutscene because I had to click a thing on a panel and the triangle button didn't show up. So guess what? I reloaded the checkpoint, did the combat sequence again, and then pressed triangle. And for me, that's not game breaking. It's annoying, right? And like sometimes like I don't think I fell through the world. I saw some people fall through the world. But like, if it's something like that, or if it's something like, you know, if I have 2 to 3 bugs in my 25-hour gaming experience, then like, yeah, like, okay, cool, it's buggy. But again, it's not game-breaking is the thing. Like, it's not super distracting. If I had less buggy games, like I played 100 hours of Zelda, and I didn't experience one bug in Zelda. And so like, that's a compliment to Zelda. But again, like, I think for me, Spider-Man 2 has an average amount of bugs that I've had in a video game, to your point.
Yeah. I saw someone in chat saying that like the Hi-Fi Rush, they didn't have any bugs. I did. I had many times where the music would be incorrect or loop at multiple songs playing at once. And in a game like that, you can't do that. So I just had to stop, reset the mission, or like sometimes even just hitting start and going back would fix that stuff. But like, to me, that's
the video game. The other thing too is like, there are going to be people that come back and listen to our Spider-Man 2 review months from now. And Spider-Man 2 strikes me as a game that the bugs that people are having are not going to be there in like 2 weeks, right? Like the box, like the playing as a cube thing, the falling through the world, like the bugs that I'm generally seeing, which seem to be, again, not really game breaking, they are like lighter things, those are things that are going to get patched pretty quickly. And for a review like ours, or for a review like, let's say, IGN or any of the outlets out there that are more written word, right, that stuff is forever, right? Like, that is your opinion that lasts on the internet, unless like you do a re-review or whatever, or like a review in progress. Like, that stuff is going to inform people that are picking up the game 6 months from now, a year from now, 2 years from now. And if the buggy experience is like a minor part of it, and if there are things that you expect to get patched out in like a few weeks' time, it's that tough thing of, all right, I could say this, I could make this part of my review, I could dock it points or whatever, but like 6 months from now, this isn't going to matter. 2 months from now, a few weeks from now, maybe it's not going to matter. It's a weird like thing to balance. But for me, for our review at least, it was something that I meant to bring up that I never got around to, just basically because we ran out of time.
Yeah.
But it is what it is. Tim, let's get in to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong, where you write in, let us know what we got wrong as we got it wrong, so we can correct it for those watching later on YouTube and listening later on podcast services around the globe. Let's see here. I think this is from...
Real quick, Aero52 says normalize re-reviewing games, and then I saw somebody else say that, like, Bless, you should have brought that up in your review. Like, you should review what you're reviewing, not the promise there's a day one patch. It's what we're doing right now.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean,
like, the re-reviewing is like us talking about these games over time, over the years, and being able to bring up how experiences either changed or didn't change, and if that's going to be enough to like reframe how we think about a game, yeah, over time.
That's the special thing about Kind of Funny, is that, yeah, like, we give updates on the games we're playing, right? And like, we get to have the follow-up for an IGN, right? Like, listen to the IGN podcast, read the op-eds that people are putting out there, right? Like, I think oftentimes we miss the fact that the conversation is an ongoing one because we're too focused on that initial review and not focused on, well, these are people with like, these are human beings that have like flowing opinions and, mm-hmm, ever-changing opinions and all these things, right? And so, like, one, that's first and foremost. Two, you know, I have my review notes, and there are plenty of things that I didn't get to, and, yeah, that's because our reviews are a conversation. And so I could sit, you know, when Tim throws to me and is like, hey, how do you feel about Spider-Man 2? Give us your thoughts. I could, like, read every bullet point for 15 minutes. Guess what? Nobody wants me to do that. Like, yeah, that's bad content. And, like, also, then I come off as, like, an asshole, right? Because then I'm like, all right, well, for this game that I'm giving a 4 out of 5, you know, I like these things, but also I hated this and I had bugs and, like, you know, this piece of writing I didn't like, and then I'm just going off, right? Like, I think for all of us, we try to give our balanced opinions, right? And like speak from the heart and how we feel. And from there, it turns into a conversation. I think if you want like a bullet point list review, there are people out there that'll give that to you.
Oh yeah.
For us, it's a conversation.
Yeah.
Let's see. Yeah, Delaney Twining writes in and says the last Inside Xbox was April 10th, 2018, per their YouTube. Banner SN says Zelda is currently the best-selling game of 2023. As of June, it is over 18 million per Inside Gaming, or Insider Gaming. OMGLX says it should be noted that Rainbow Six Extraction, perhaps confusingly, is not an extraction shooter. It is a Left 4 Dead style horde shooter with tactical elements carried over from R6 Siege. It does not have a lot in common with games like Tarkov or Call of Duty's DMZ mode. I don't know if I'll call it a Left 4 Dead style. Maybe. You know what? I'm not going to argue. Genres are weird. And then Corey Cudney says, I double checked the Super Mario Wonder claim, and it is true. Out of the 5 original developers of Super Mario 1, let's see, Kazuaki Morita is the only one that didn't work on it and is credited under special thanks. Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. That's fucking cool as hell, man.
Bob says Spider-Man 2 causes my PS5 to cut itself from the power as a safety measure. Cool. And Cedori writes in and says there are 6 people credited on the original Super Mario Brothers, 7 if you count Nintendo president Hiroshi Yamauchi as executive producer. So there you go.
So sick. That's wild to think about, though, right? How low that number is.
And, like, they made one of the greatest video games of all time.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. They definitely made the most influential video game of all time. And then they went on to make...
like, right after. And we're skipping Mario 2, you know? damn.
Which was also a banger.
Which is also a banger. Like, Mario 2 is a fucking great game. That is it for kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. The rest of this week's hosts for KFGD look like this. On Tuesday, you're getting Greg and me. On Wednesday, you're getting me and Andy. On Thursday, you're getting me and Tim. Then on Friday, you're getting Tim and Greg. Of course, this has been kind of, actually, before I do this, is there a post show for today? I didn't double check the calendar.
Yeah, there is a post show.
There's a post show. Okay, cool.
Yeah. Just me and you, though.
Okay, cool. We'll stay tuned for the post show. We're going to hang out, have a good time, probably argue with
you. Chatting with y'all.
This has been
kind of. Did you say argue with the chat?
Yeah.
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 Bless.
Let's throw hands.
Just real. You know what? What in the post show, I have something I want to read.
Perfect. Let's do it. This has been Kind of Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday live right here on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. Until next time, Game Daily.
Look, I know it's bad to even talk about some of the dumb fucking shit we read in chat sometimes. Oh, yeah. And it's just purposeless. Mm-hmm. But sometimes things are just so fucking stupid that I need to read you what somebody said. I'm not even gonna call their name out here. Omitting crucial information is called censorship.
Whoa. Holy shit. Well, like, here's the thing, right? Censorship. Okay, there's like, let's not get into it.
We don't even need to. I just think it's so funny. And then the other thing,
I chose not to talk about it.
Oh my God, that's the fucking funniest thing. And then the other thing I want to say, I saw this like way earlier, just during the show, mm-hmm. is one of the things that makes me laugh so hard. You know, I feel like the most easy dunk on somebody is when they're talking shit about you and they use the wrong your.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh yeah.
And it's just so. It's just the best.
You know it's especially great when they misspell it as Y-U-O-R. It's like, oh my God, go back to Kansas. Yeah,
all of it is
idiot.
Just fucking bad. The video game equivalent of it, or the internet equivalent of it, mm-hmm. is people that use the word bias or biased wrong, mm-hmm. saying that someone is biased. It's like, you fucking idiots! Like, can you at least understand the words that you're using if you're going to try to use them to dunk on people? Like,
I love it. I just responded to a tweet last night from Mitchell Salzman, who he was talking about, like, man, like the hate, like rage click stuff is like pretty wild right now on Twitter when you talk about like people that are doing things like the console fanboy stuff of like, oh man, look at this bug I got in Spider-Man. They make it like a bigger thing than it is. And also like the other way around of like, you know, oh man, Spider-Man 2 is a perfect game. There's nothing wrong with it. Oh man, if you dislike anything, you're an idiot. Like both sides of it, insane.
Insane.
I've seen so much of it on Twitter this fall, right? And between like, you know, between all of it, right? Baldur's Gate 3, Starfield, Spider-Man 2, right? Like any exclusive game really, if you release, I've seen so much of it. And I think one, it's a mixture of like Twitter algorithm, quote unquote X algorithm, right? Changing the for you page to be a bit more, you're seeing a bunch of shit that you don't follow. And so now I just see a bunch of like video game talk, which apparently is just rooted in console warrior talk, which is wild. I see so much of it. I'm like, wow, you guys exist on a level that I didn't even realize before.
Oh man,
this.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like before this, because I don't read many comments. I don't read much of Reddit, right? Like I kind of stick to my own like Twitter, and then like
you're now seeing the realities. This is, you're leaving the vault right now.
Yeah, the thing is, like, usually it's like, okay, I see this stuff from people I follow, and then guess what? I go outside and I touch grass and I talk to real people.
Dude, I
but now I see so much of it on my timeline. I'm like, what in the world is wrong with y'all?
Somebody like in the chat earlier during our story about the Xbox showcase. I don't know what we possibly could have said during that. That their response was, their bias is showing.
What did you see that was mean?
Wrong fucking use of that word. Take it off. What the fuck did we say? Like, what did we say that was anything but...
We said Halo sucked.
But positive towards, like, Xbox doing this, and also positive towards Nintendo and PlayStation.
Yeah, I feel like everything...
It was kind of just a positive take on it. Anyway, enough about that negativity bullshit. Enough I just think it is so funny. It's so funny how weird people can be.
Yeah. Listen, I'm a fan of one thing and one thing only. All right, Nintendo.
Fuck yeah, dude. I love Nintendo. Fuck PlayStation. Fuck Xbox.
Nintendo's great. Have you played Mario Wonder? Because that shit is fire.
Oh,
that was the other
Lord.
Thing. I tweeted out on like Saturday. I was like, man, Nintendo's just different. And like half the replies, I'm like, what is going on with y'all? I just like it.
Yeah, they
like
are different. They're not fucking 4K.
Yeah, it's like, oh, maybe they make kids games. I'm like, you're playing Spider-Man.
Oh, man. Remember, you guys can get your fun super chats in over on YouTube, and we will answer those questions. But while we do that, Bless, what's on your mind?
What is on my mind? House of Usher is really good.
Yeah.
It's a really, really good show. I just finished episode 6. I don't understand how Mike Flanagan keeps getting away with it. Midnight Mass was a masterpiece. Midnight Masterpiece. House of Usher is shaping up to be a masterpiece. I was going to make an Usher joke.
It could have been mid, but it was a masterpiece. I stretched a little too far.
I see what you're saying. No, I was going to say, like, he caught up and got a hit. I was going to make, like, some kind of Usher thing.
Got it.
Yeah, caught up and got a hit.
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah,
but, like, then I remember you don't like Usher, and so I was like, maybe I'll leave him out of that. But no, like, he can really do no wrong. Rahul Kohli in his bag in this show. And I love that, like, he's almost playing like half himself in the show, where he's like, I'm a British dude that loves video games. But then the other half is like the House of Usher-ness of it, that, like, again, oh, man, put him in more things. He's killing it.
Oh, amen. Good for I still haven't started it. Very, very excited to, though.
Did you like Midnight Mass? Or did you like other Mike Flanagan?
Midnight Mass was the only one that I watched, but okay.
I also really need to go back and watch more... Haunting of Hill House, because I've started
that's
it twice.
The best one. That's the best one. It's so good.
I've started it twice and I didn't get through it because I was watching it with people and both those people abandoned me.
Bro, you gotta just cut the weight, go and like I'm
just go and watch it by myself.
Or come watch it at my house.
But will you abandon me?
No.
Because it's been a trend.
No, here's the thing. Like, me and Paul.
Don't watch shows that you're gonna be really into on a first date, everybody. Let me tell you. You will not finish the show. You will never finish the
That's
show.
So funny.
Me, Paul, and Avery really want to rewatch it. Avery in there. I'm not sure, but like, we can get her to do it.
I'll think about it.
He sounds confident. I'm not seeing any super chats coming in, so I feel like y'all are fucking cowards. You don't
Get cowards. Those cowards.
No, I get it though. I
mean, that means we get to talk more about TV. You've been watching other TV.
Yes. Nothing to. Oh, Gen V, dude. We got to keep talking about this.
Do we have like content about Gen V?
No, we don't. I mean, I'd love to do if we can get things to work out right. I'd love to do a spoiler cast if you're catching up with it all.
Yeah.
At the end of the season, because dude, are you caught up?
I'm caught up. Yeah.
Phenomenal show, man. It just keeps being so damn good, and I just am so surprised that. It is as good as The Boys is. And I love The Boys. Like, to the point that season 3 of The Boys, was that the last one? Yeah.
Yeah.
I think is, like, my favorite season of TV. Like, it just was really? So damn good. Like, the levels that they upped that story and the lengths to which they went the last couple episodes of that show, I was just so freaking blown away. Like, their commentary is just so...
It's just strong. It's strong, and it's, like, it's juvenile in a way that doesn't, like... come with the baggage of being juvenile. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, totally.
Like, all of, like, the over-the-top gore, all of, like, the sex stuff, all of, like...
ridiculous.
All of, like the bad language, all... Like, it should make me cringe, but they loop it around in a way, and it's all commentary on it, right? Like, it is trying to make commentary on all this stuff. It loops back and around in a way where I'm like, oh, this is fun.
Dude,
this is a really fun time.
It's incredible, man. And the way that Gen V was marketed, or should I say not marketed, mm-hmm. I thought that they were like, it's a spinoff. This might be going a bad direction. I just can't believe that Amazon has this powerhouse win in the Boys franchise. Because in my opinion, they're 3 for 3 right now with The Boys, Diabolical, and this. Like, Diabolical wasn't the best thing ever, but I loved the swings they took. And it was like an anthology series. And I feel like it had more wins than L's there. So...
there's a character in Gen V. I'll just say the character name. I won't say anything about him, but like, there's a character named Tech Knight that like is fucking incredible in Gen V.
Yeah.
And I can't believe that this character is a character. He's fucking awesome. Also, you might be able to see like the super chats right there. I don't know if Kevin can like zoom in for us, but like, there's definitely super chats. Like,
okay,
I'm looking
at them. I can get them. Give me 1 second.
Kevin, you want to read them also? We could do that like that.
Yeah, sure.
See, that one's from like 3 minutes ago.
Give me 1 second. Oh,
that's weird.
Chat laptop.
But yeah, Gen V is incredible. Loki, the latest episode. Like, I've been liking the season overall. Latest episode, I'm kind of split on. Like, I liked parts of it, but there are other parts where I'm like, I don't know if I like how this actor is playing this character. I don't know if you can like infer from what I'm talking. And also like certain character developments of like. Certain character motivations are weirding me out in the latest Loki episode.
Oh, I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
I love it though.
Yeah,
yeah, let's get fucking weird. Yeah, I this episode is my least favorite of the season so far, but I still thought it was really strong, and like I'm excited to see where they end up taking it all. I'm loving it overall.
I'm also loving Loki overall.
Just as a show is just I think very strong, and a lot of that's because of the production design and like it. It we complain so much about the volume and the use of it and how it can kind of take away. Loki is so clearly on practical sets for season two for so much of it, that it is pretty impressive. And of course, it's a mix of things, but like there's some one shots and some things that they do that I'm like, damn, they're flexing right now. Yeah. And I'm really having a good time with it. It's wild though that we're like halfway done.
How many episodes is Loki?
Six. With three down.
Oh, yeah, that's three down. Holy shit.
Yeah. And then Gen V, we only have like two left. We do have a super chat in here. I'm seeing saying,
do you want me to read you the ones that we have?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. So let me see how long has this been going on?
I can kind of actually know my eyesight's not good enough.
I mean, I can also, if you want to handle it.
So these popped up.
Oh, there you go. That's good. That's
they
good.
Popped
That's
up
good.
Now.
Let's see. Mad Rocks, no, my eyesight still sucks. With Insomniac Spider-Man 2 and Invincible Season 2 releasing weeks apart, is it crazy to want an Insomniac-developed Invincible game?
No, it's definitely not. And I mean, like, Invincible and Spider-Man have always kind of been weirdly related in some ways of just, like, the type of story that it's telling there of, like, the teenage kid being a superhero, dealing with the world around him and all of that. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, even the Spider-Man artist Invincible artist worked on Spider-Man a couple years back, too. I feel like that'd be so fun. I don't see it in Insomniac, but
that's my thing is I would want it more out of Sony Santa Monica than Insomniac. Mm. I think Sony Santa Monica, when you look at that Baldur versus Kratos fight at the beginning of God of War, that's superhero shit right there, and it's violent and it's big scale in a way that I feel like could translate from Invincible pretty well.
Yeah. Yeah, it could be interesting. I mean, I feel like obviously we're talking about some of the best in the world and with a property that we freaking love. Also, Invincible Season 2 is weeks away. We're going to like Gen V and then start Invincible. It's only four episodes though. It's part one of Season 2.
That's a bummer.
Hey man, it's good enough.
And then early next year though for part two.
I guess, that lines up where the first half of Season 1 is ending by December. Is that what?
Something like that, yeah.
Okay, I can deal with that. Doing Okay donated $10 and says, my KF Game of the Year top 10 prediction. Ooh, okay, you got a full list here. Number one, Tears of the Kingdom, Spider-Man 2, Baldur's Gate 3, Mario Wonder, Starfield, Final Fantasy 16, Alan Wake 2, Phantom Liberty, Armored Core 6, Liza P.
I don't think so.
No? What here strikes you as
in this order? I don't think so.
The thing that I see changing, I think Starfield is higher. The fact that, like, Greg loves Starfield, Mike loves Starfield, Paris loves Starfield, Andy loves Starfield. I think Starfield might be top three.
Yeah.
As much as I hate it.
Yeah. I don't think Baldur's Gate's going to be that high.
Really?
I mean, just think about our squad.
I think I'll have it high. Janet's going to have it high. Andy's going to have it high. I don't know where Mike's going to have it. I don't know where Barrett's going to have it, or if Barrett will even have it.
Yeah. I mean, I just don't think it's going to be our number three.
Okay. No, that lines. I think it'll be in the top 10, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. To me, this order is just the thing that's off. Games, I think this is actually pretty
I think games accurate. Is spot on. I think Tears of the Kingdom, based on this conversation, I think is going to be number one, but I could also see Spider-Man 2.
I think Spider-Man 2 could take it. I think Spider-Man 2 is the most likely at this point to take
really?
It. I mean, just think about how high it's... If it's not people's number one, like Greg, it's going to be in their top three for most people.
I was talking to Roger about this, where like this year is so insane that I look at my list and I'm like, Spider-Man 2 is hanging on by a thread, I think, on my top 10.
That's insane.
Like, I think it's like hanging off the edge.
I mean, I appreciate everyone's opinion. Mm-hmm. I am shocked at how much you don't love Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Like, it's always been true, though. Like, even jokes aside and everything, like talking about Miles and even talking about 2018. It's
that's the thing is like, it's that weird thing of, like, critic versus fan, where as a fan, I fucking love these games, right? Like, Spider-Man 2018, Miles, and Spider-Man 2, fucking love these games as a fan. But, like, critically, I would give all of them 4 out of 5, probably.
It's wild to me. And hanging on a thread of a top 10, even this year?
That's the thing, is the fact that we're in this year, where I look through, and I'm like, Tears of the Kingdom, Baldur's Gate 3, fucking, like, Armored Core 6 and Liza P, like, I think I have more of a reverence for, just in terms of, like how those games play, what those games do, right? The stories they tell.
Tears of the Kingdom is my number one.
Street Fighter 6 is in there for me,
too. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I feel like I don't know yet where I fall between Spider-Man and Final Fantasy 16 for my number two.
Oh, Final Fantasy 16, I think, is above Spider-Man for me as well.
And that's the thing, too, is I think Final Fantasy 16 could actually bump up a bit here. But I don't know.
Yeah. I'm excited to see. I think the fact that like it isn't just me, you, Greg, Andy, right? But you have Paris in there and Janet is in there as well.
And Barrett too.
And Barrett in there as well, right? Like I think that expands the vote in a way where it is unpredictable.
Yeah. And
I think
Mike.
Janet mentioned that, I think, and Mike, which makes it truly unpredictable.
But see, I feel like Mike would put Spider-Man number one.
For sure. Yeah. I think Mike would. I know Janet, I think Janet's saying like Baldur's Gate or Tears of the Kingdom for her top two.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting. But also, what a fucking year. But
hell yeah.
I think this might be the first year that like you look at the top 10 and it's like, well, shit. All of those are like incredible. We missed a couple here. Sonia says, looking to buy a new TV today, and I want to know if the Z9K LED TV will be able to take advantage of the PS5. If you can do some research, I appreciate it. Sorry, I'm unfamiliar with that, and I don't have the time.
If we can do some research. Are you asking us to do homework for you?
But hold on, if it could take advantage of the PS5, I'm sure. If you're buying a modern TV right now, you're fine. You just need HDMI 2.1 ports. Yeah. You're going to be okay with this. Oh, Jesus. This is you're getting a nice ass TV. Congratulations. Yo, this might be way too much overkill. I don't know that you need to do this.
I love that it's like, I've not heard of this because it's just way beyond.
Yeah, dude, this is an 8K TV. I don't know that you need that. Like that's,
or, you know, go crazy.
Live your fucking life. I mean,
yeah. You might get ahead.
Listen, if they're looking at it, that means they have the money for it.
I mean,
and if that's the case,
I'm looking at the they're averaging $7,000. $5,500 is the lowest I'm seeing here.
Pretty cool. It's pretty cool for this person.
Good for you, Sonia. Good for you.
I want to bring in the super chat from Chris Derrimer because I really like it. It's Mary Mentor Murder. All right. Cool. It's Miles Morales, Atreus, and Ellie.
Oh, interesting.
Mary Mentor Murder.
Oh, fuck. Well, you got to murder Ellie.
Wow.
You just got to. She's scary.
She is. You know what? Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But like, the question is, will you be able to murder Ellie?
No, I'm going to die.
Oh, man. Well, the tough thing is, I can't. Oh, how old is it? I can't marry Atreus.
It's right? The spirit of it.
The spirit of it? I'm going to change Mary to roommate.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
we're going to be roommates. We're not going to marry these people. And if that's the case, fuck. I'm going to mentor Miles because I feel like me and Miles have the most in common out of all these characters. But I don't want to be roommates with Atreus, annoying ass kid. I guess be roommates with Ellie. Ellie doesn't seem like she'd be a bad roommate. She's away all the time on missions. Coming back all bloody.
How old is Atreus in Ragnarok?
He's like a teenager.
But like,
he's like 15 teenager? Or something, right?
Okay.
Like
no idea.
16.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm murdering Atreus.
Oh shit.
Yeah, murdering Atreus, roommates with Ellie, and then I'm mentoring Miles.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I don't have
Miles,
a great answer.
We're just playing PlayStation. That's like we're it. Playing Nintendo all the time.
You mentoring Miles.
It's like, hey bro, you wanna play some COD? Like
I love that. Yeah.
Hell yeah. Let's see. Can you scroll
there's some more here.
There's another one.
Street Shadow says, what are the thoughts on Starfield bugs versus Spider-Man 2 versus Cyberpunk? I can accept Spider-Man and Starfield bugs, but Cyberpunk launch was terrible. Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's... Cyberpunk was terrible. I mean, Cyberpunk's bugs were so bad that PlayStation took it off its store. Cool, period. That's the end of that conversation, right? Starfield, I don't know. What are your thoughts?
I mean, for me, Starfield was like... It was janky enough where like I brought it up in the review, right? Where it's like... Like it for me, it was the Bethesda levels of jank and bugs. Granted, like less bugs than I feel like they usually launch with, but still bugs there that it's like, well, I'm gonna talk about this. But like it's one of those ones where what do you deem acceptable to launch? Like I think Starfield is acceptable to launch. I'm going to like comment on these things, I'm gonna have beef with it or whatever, but it's not like you released this game and it's a fucking like it's a scam. Like it's like, oh, this is beyond the level of me paying money for it, right? Like I think Cyberpunk, if you bought Cyberpunk on PlayStation 4, you are liable for like legal action, right? Like I think that is the level of bugs you're getting in Cyberpunk where it's, oh, this is fucked up. In Starfield, it's like, cool, it's a Bethesda game. Like what do you expect? Like this is par for the course. In Spider-Man, again, I think Spider-Man out of all three of those has the least amount of bugs. They're there, but again, like I think it is the average amount of AAA bugs that you're seeing in a video game, so that's kind of how I rank them.
Tiki says, finally a post show. Have you guys tried out those candles you promoted last week? I'd love to hear your thoughts before I spend the money. Yeah, I had a whole bunch over at my desk.
waiting on them. Are they here?
Well, there should be some. Yours should be sent to your house.
Oh, it's my house.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Then I need to check my.
Yeah, mind. But I got up. They smell real good.
Heck yeah, I'm excited for that. Viking in chat says, Blessing, you should try Undernight in Birth 2, Sys Cell, when it comes out. A ridiculous name for a quality fighting game that finally gets rollback. I played the previous Undernight in Birth back in like 2020, and I enjoyed it. I think with a new one coming out, there's more of a chance that I might stick with this. But the thing is, I believe Undernight in Birth 2, isn't that coming out around the same time as like a Tekken 8? Mm. Because if I'm choosing between the two, I'm choosing Tekken 8. I'm sorry.
Viking sent super chats. Thank you for that. Shay Slay says, are you still playing Honkai?
No. So, okay. Undernight in Birth 2 comes out January 25th, rocks. Which is around Tekken 8. Honkai, it's tough because I started it, immediately was like, oh, this feels and looks and like has like a lot of Genshinisms to it, right? Like the difference being the combat and the setting. The combat's cool. The combat actually reminds me a bit of like a Persona 5 in terms of like its flow and stuff, which is really cool. But there's not really enough there in terms of like world building and story to get me in immediately. And then I got Mario Wonder, and that's taking up all my time right now. And I'm gonna beat Mario Wonder, and probably like what Alan Wake is coming out soon, and so I'll probably start focusing in on Alan Wake. And so we'll see. I don't know if I'm ever gonna get back to Honkai, unfortunately.
Nick writes in with the final super chat of the day saying, should people vote Baldur's Gate 3 Game of the Year if they never beat it? Game of the Year is a made-up concept. So yeah. It really depends on the outlet and what the qualifications are for the voting and how all of it works. Here at Kinda Funny, it's whatever we all want it to be. Mm-hmm. If I want to vote my Game of the Year to be freaking Burger King Sneak King,
yeah,
I could stack. Do that. But
and my thing is, I put in more time into Baldur's Gate 3 than Spider-Man. Right, like Baldur's Gate 3 is, I probably put in more time than like half the games on my Game of the Year list, and I've had a lot of fun with it, like a lot of fun in Baldur's Gate 3. And also, it's like a 100-hour game, like, you know, in a fall that is packed to the brim with games. If the requirement is, hey, in order to support something or in order to say like, hey, I think this is one of the best things out there, if the requirement is to beat it, guess what? Baldur's Gate 3 isn't making it in any conversation in outlets, because most people at most outlets probably haven't beat Baldur's Gate 3, because that's just a demanding amount of hours, especially when you have to like keep up with everything else. And so for me, Baldur's Gate 3 is going to be on my Game of the Year list, because I put in at this point probably like 30 hours into it. Now, am I still in Act 1? Yes, I am. But I'm enjoying Act 1 like a lot. And also, I'm getting my ass kicked in the Underdark, y'all.
Yeah.
There's again, a beast down there.
It's all about the context. We're going to say that. Yeah, it's not like we're trying to hide something like from anybody. Shit. So,
And also, I trust that Baldur's Gate 3 continues to be quality just based on how everybody else is talking about it. Like, I've heard other people talk about it. I know it apparently gets buggy in the last act. I'm aware. I still like it. I'm still putting it up there.
Well, that's it. That's been our post show. Thank you guys for hanging out with us. We got a fun stream plan today. I'm pretty sure the plan is Nick Scarpino playing Ghost Runner 2.
Oh.
Which, if y'all are not familiar with Ghost Runner 2, check this stream out. This game rocks.
Are you playing it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It is so fun.
I'm not entirely sure that's what's going on, but we will see when we get there. Well, you know?
You should check it out in case it is, and if not, I'm sure it's going to be fun.
Reviews are out right now, so go check out the Ghost Runner 2 reviews.
Yeah. Just such a sick game.
Hell yeah, of course. Until next time, I've been Blessing. That's been Tim. It's been our pleasure to serve you.